Okay, Sunday night, 6 p.m., day 28 of our 49 days. Today we're going to explore a practice that I would refer to as focusing on being wholehearted. Now, that can mean a lot of different things. So instead of thinking about what that might mean, let's just dive into the experience. And I'll come back to why I chose this at the end. So we'll see how that goes. So let's just begin by checking in with the tortoise breathing, and we're going to stay with that for a bit. So get into a good posture, check in with yourself, decide this is a good time to embrace your inner tortoise. And before we begin the actual breath practice, I'm just going to review that we want to be able to start making the distinction between contracting our perineal floor, kind of about where we go pee, and then making this distinction with where we go poo. So although they're pretty close, see if we can start with the front and then pick up the back and then go through the process and then let go of the back and then let go of the front when we're done. And again, we're just rehearsing, so there's no way to do this wrong. So good posture, good alignment. Breathe all the way out, and then breathe in, contracting towards your belly button and the front sides or corners, then your sides, then your back corners, and then your back. Then release the back, back corners, sides, front corners, and then front, and then release the front of the perineal floor, and then release the back, and just breathe normally for a moment. Whew! So keep in mind that we're actually training some really important background capabilities, so as fiddly and careful as that is, it's just a good idea it's kind of like doing push-ups. You just want to get those muscles to really work together. So let's try that once more. Normal breath. All the way out. Find your perineal floor in the back, in the front. Inhale. Belly button. Front corners. Sides. Back corners. And back. And then relax the back. Relax the back corners, relax the sides, front corners, and then front. And then release the front of the perineum and then the back. So I'm not expecting us to always be able to be that meticulous every time we do this. But it is important for us to be able to go, oh yeah, that's the picky version. That's the really precise way. So as long as we have a sense of what that's like, what we're going to do now is just focus on the overall general sense of really deep, slow breathing, like tortoise breathing. If you can include the directions around the body and then back, great. If not, that's okay. Just wanted to make sure we're all, working on the same push-ups. So what we're going to do is a bit of a warm-up for something, and then we're going to go into it kind of like a cycle. So I usually use the term elevator down, so we're going to basically go from the front all the way down through the six spines, and then we'll do that a couple of times just to get a feel for it, then we'll do the back a couple of times, and then we're going to do it like it's a cycle. So bring your attention to the front of your body, and that idea of kind of a zipper or a meridian or a channel, an opening. Specifically for how it is that we interact with people, especially to solve problems, to collaborate, and to connect as a whole being. So as we bring our attention to the front of our body, take a deep breath in, all the way out. And then as you breathe in, Start with your pupils, face, heart, gut, spine, sacrum and tail, and then just relax. Again, inhale all the way down the front, pupils, face, heart, gut, spine, sacrum and tail. So just think of that as a good way to play with your inhale, because as the inhale begins, your connection to the outside becomes more internal sequentially as you dive in. So let's play that with an exhale and then go up, elevator up, or from the back out. So take a deep breath all the way out, all the way in, drawing in the front. And then we'll go from the back, sacrum to spine, exhaling gut, heart, face, pupils. And when you're exhaling through the back, the elevator up, always connect your spine through your eyes at the end. So let's just try the exhale. Inhale all the way. Exhale all the way. Inhale all the way. And bring your attention to your sacrum. Just breathe out really slow and go through each sacrum and tail, spine, gut, heart, face, and then eyes from your spine through. So now we're going to do just as a couple with following the minds all the way in on the inhale and then all the way out on the exhale, just to make sure we have a feel for that. And then we're going to get into something kind of trippy. So inhale, elevator down. Exhale, elevator up. And again, inhale, focusing on the Renmai, meridian on the front. And exhale, focusing on Dumai, or the meridian up your spine. Still going through all the minds. Yep. So if you're ever looking for just a real quick reset way to become coherent and really connected to your practice, that version of the microcosmic orbit, I would say, is a really good way to go about it. And we're just going to go a little deeper with this in the sense of context. So because we're spending this week focusing on our heart, and we've talked about the energy of love being something that's maybe a part instinct, part state, part emotion. So we're going to play with a couple of flavors of love or instincts of love. And one of those instincts is going to be carried and enacted through the front of the body. And I would call that maybe your healer version of love, in the sense of nurturing and support and being really attentive to people. So let's just go into that elevator down on the front and really focusing on what the unconditional love of a healer would be like. Just inhale, eyes, then face, heart, gut, spine and sacrum, unconditional love of a healer. So that's a pretty powerful place to be. And I can't presume that everyone who's on live or watching this later is having that exact moment in this moment. And again, that's why we're rehearsing. But I would encourage you to make sure that you can make that association with the meridian on the front of the body, the idea of the elevator down, as a way of resourcing deeply into the part of you that can love compassionately with a whole front of yourself in a very instinctual way. So if we were to play with the same orientation of love with respect to our back and that big meridian going up our spine, let's just play with the feeling that's there. What would the love of coming through your spine be like? And if I was to give it a nickname, I would call that the love of a warrior. And no, that doesn't have to be action movies. It just has to be about love that may have to be at a distance to protect someone from something, as opposed to the love that we would experience being right close to something. So let's explore that warrior-like love as we go up the back. So deep breath, all the way out. Breathe in. And as you breathe out, just go from your sacrum, up your spine, with the love of a warrior, into your gut, heart, face, and eyes. So if we were to cycle them back and forth, let's do the healer on the front, warrior on the back, say for three breaths, and just flow with that. So inhale, going elevator down on the front. Ready? Go. And exhale up the spine with the love of a warrior. Inhale with the love of a healer down the front. Exhale with the love of a warrior. Once more. Exhale the spine. So, hopefully, if anything else, hopefully that's given you at least a tangible sense of kind of a yin-yang way of orientating yourself to the world around you, rooted in love, but also rooted in action, either action as a healer to do what we need to do, or action at a distance, focused on what we would call the love of a warrior. So, hopefully you're having a tangible sense of that, and if not, just keep rehearsing until it becomes more tangible to you. Because what I wanted to do was bring our attention back to something that has to do with what we call that E-bubble, and that's about perception. Something that's precise between attention and intention, which is most of what we do in the mind before the mind starts talking. So when we think of this in the sense of how our heart can potentially connect with the heart of another, the metaphor is that we all have this bubble around us and that everyone else has a bubble around them, and that in the modern sort of view of how egos work, we've been using spray paint to protect our heart, kind of like a shield, by making everyone believe things about us that we hope that they want to be true, just like a baby trying to make the right noise to get fed. And we also can use what I call our PR department, our public relations department, to try and make sure other people are aware of who we want them to see by metaphorically coating their bubble with the illusions that they want us to believe to be true about us. And that's true of other people. Other people have their heart's shield, what they want us to see about them, which we may or may not see as true or not. And then everyone has their PR department spraying on our bubble, on our perception of them and how they fit into the world. As goofy as that may be, as a metaphor, I think it's a fairly accurate one. And most importantly, it gives us something to work with. So the quickest way I describe this is just pretend you have a paint scraper that you can use to remove what you find to be untrue about how you protect yourself or how you project onto people or how they protect themselves and how they project onto you. That's never going to stop. So if you're thinking you're done, well, way to go. Never seen that before. However, there is a really fun way to play with this. And it can be a very deep healing practice. First, you want to pick a layer, either your heart shield, their heart shield, their PR department, your PR department, just in the sense of what you know to be probably the biggest thing that's in between you and the person you want to become closer to or more honest with. So, for the sake of making this tangible, let's just begin with what we call our heart shield, the things that we know we keep telling people or showing people or wanting to make sure people can see about us, that is really coming from a childlike place of just wanting everyone to see what they want to see or what we need them to see. So just imagine something that's about you that you're pretty sure you're kind of adding to you just to make sure people can see that about you. And then what you would want to do is sit with the elevator down, elevator up, heart of a warrior, heart of a healer, and ask yourself, should the healer or the warrior face this particular bit of ego, this particular bit of my story? And once you've picked one, use that breath work, use that part of your whole integrated self to just face that illusion. So think of the last time you lied to somebody to make yourself feel better, at least in your mind. And then get into the body and the breath and just check in with your healer as you do the elevator down. What's true about that lie? And why are you still telling it? And as you breathe out, orientate to your warrior. Move through all of that and see if you can find any place in which that warrior would still confer that that lie is, I guess, true enough to get away with. And that would be the practice to just go through each of those four layers of separation that we have with people as we become really aware of the pain that they're causing other people or ourselves, and just bring the force of truth and the spirit of truth into the experience using that breathwork practice and playing with that innate masculine and feminine and part of yourself, that yin and yang of yourself, so you can really be. Come clear on what you're really doing and what's really motivating you. Now that's a lot to, excuse me, that's a lot to think about. It's a lot to remember, but it's also a fairly intuitive thing because honestly, there is no part of your authentic instinctual self that is really going to allow you to lie, you know, or keep creating egoic things that really don't serve you or anybody else. So I thought I'd bring that up on our Sunday just to make sure that everything else we've done this week makes sense. Also, just to bring up those interesting parts of ourselves. And if I was to give those parts of ourselves another name, if you don't like the idea of an innate healer within you, think of that as the student of right relationship. And if you're not sure you're comfortable with the word warrior, ask yourself, what would it like to be the student of right action? Because those are two of the fundamental tenets of most indigenous traditions, Buddhism, Taoism, and things like that, so that we can actually, I don't know, participate in a way that we can recognize as true. So, seeing as it's Sunday, sometimes we open this up for Q&A and stuff. So, if there's anything people want to share about, now would be a really good time. Especially with respect to the idea of right relationship, right action, you know, the work we're doing with these innate minds. What it's like to be opening the front of yourself and the back of yourself in a very specific way. So just putting that out there, if anyone has anything they wanted to share about the journey so far. So, since nothing's coming up for people, I'm assuming that all works out okay. So this has been the week of our heart, and next week is going to be the work of the mind we call our face and voice. So it's going to be a really interesting week for everyone, because this is where we're going to really ask ourselves how we form our personality and how we define and defend our ego. Still working with breath work and still working with our embodiment. But it's going to also move into a little bit of some journeying practices that will fundamentally help us understand ourselves on that kind of mind-body level. So hope to see you all as the group starts to shrink down to the, I don't know, hardcore of us that are still here. And yeah, we'll get back to it 8 a.m. Monday morning and begin to truly feel and refine who it is that we move into the world as. There's just one other thing I wanted to quickly throw out here with this. Dream world. When we get into week number 7, when we move to the internal world, we'll bring up some of what we can do with dream qigong. But yeah, that's coming up after we're done with the innate stuff. What I would want to just bring up quickly, if you actually can use your breath and your mindfulness to start to peel back layers of your ego, and you're doing it consistently and purposefully, I would call that a pretty wholehearted way to be in the world. And if you can, notice that that gives you the opportunity to shift your meditation sort of practice and relationship away from the typical flashlight focusing on seeking truth, seeking enlightenment, seeking something, to more like a candle in a room just illuminating and being radiant to the whole of what is. We always need to have both of those. It's just nice, I think, as a practitioner to be able to reside very deeply in the candle experience of trust and patience. And then when it's time to do some work, we can focus in with that flashlight a bit. Because with more experience and time with what I would call right relationship and right action, you will actually be living your truth. And that is pretty much the whole point. Tortoise breathing. When did that start? I would have to check. Pretty sure it would have been at the beginning of the gut mind, but week 3. But I'll check. Yeah, I heard about, yeah, so you start to notice that you can definitely trust your truth a lot more. Okay, so time to go and eat some supper. See you guys bright and early if you're going to be here in the morning. And don't forget about your valley of life, especially when you're lying down, because that's the best time to really play with that. All right. See you all in the morning. I'll see if I can track down what day we started that with. All right.